Yeah, that's an interesting
contract
one.
On America.
We'll add that to Barack Obama's list, which is very long at this point. But we're going to take a moment to talk about his speech from yesterday, because for weeks, speechwriters and politicians and pundits were trying to forecast what kind of policy and the type of prose that President Obama would deliver in his inaugural address. Now that greatly anticipated speech has happened.
This is the meaning of our liberty and our creed, why men and women and children of every race and every faith can join in celebration across this magnificent mall, and why a man whose father less than 60 years ago might not have been served at a local restaurant can now stand before you to take a most sacred oath.
Joining us to take a look at the speech is David Walrice, an assistant professor in the Department of Psychology at Morehouse College. He usually joins us from Atlanta, but he was in Washington, D.C., and he joins us from there. Good morning, David.
Good morning, friends. How are you?
Great.
So tell us about your experience of being in the audience and listening to the speech. What was your overall sense of it?
Well, I thought the overall sense of it was that I thought it was adult and mature. I know that there are a lot of folks who were talking about it as being somber, but I really think that it was an example of not necessarily speaking truth to power, but speaking truth within power. So, you know, it was an adult. It was a leader of the free world, essentially speaking to, you know, his citizens in a very mature and real way. So I give it a lot of credit.
He said, put away childish things, literally.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And not only that, as you're saying, there was this intense theme of a strong America, but also this notion of accountability and optimism. Let's listen to another piece of it.
There are some who question the scale of our ambitions, who suggest that our system cannot tolerate too many big plans. Their memories are short, for they have forgotten what this country has already done, what free men and women can achieve when imagination is joined to common purpose and necessity to courage.
There's the optimism, David.
Sure, absolutely. And I think there was a mix. I mean, I think it was an even balance. I think that, you know, pardon my French, but I think it's an example of somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about. And so to have him there and to have him talking in a very real and true way was refreshing, you know, instead of, you know, this kind of spin. And it didn't seem like spin. It seemed like a mature speech that was meant to jumpstart a new America. So,
well, David, what was your reaction to his evocation of the Washington Valley Forge speech? I mean, you know, it's not often invoked, and he quotes it directly. And, you know, I was just surprised that he went back way to the early days.
I thought it was really cool. I mean, I think that the entire speech brought in a lot of different pieces, but he really is, you know, he's really setting himself up as a patriot. It seemed like he loves this country and he knows the country. And what he's able to do is to bring these strands of history to the current so that we can remember what it is that we went through, so that we can address exactly what it is that's before us.
And so much of it was about inclusiveness. And watching the coverage yesterday, I was struck by how many people were moved by this part of his speech.
To the Muslim world, we seek a new way forward based on mutual interest and mutual respect. To those leaders around the globe who seek to sow conflict or blame their society's ills on the West, know that your people will judge you on what you can build, not what you destroy.
There was a lot of discussions on the blogs, on television, about this one sentence where he reaches out to the Muslim world. What did you make of that?
Well, I think that what I made of it is that he's trying to explain that, you know, we're setting ourselves up for inclusion. And I think that what he's talking about is that for such a long time, because of the events of 9/11, there is this racist undercurrent. And I think that him talking about that, talking about Muslims, talking about the fact that, you know, we need to make sure that we're very honest about who and how we're interacting with one another. I think that he kind of pulled the sheet back from all of this murmuring that we know is going on. So I thought it was very adult. It was stepping right up to an issue and addressing it. And I think that it's kind of the elephant in the room in a lot of situations.
For you personally, David, as someone who studies speeches, who is a professor of psychology, what was the experience like for you?
Well, for me personally, I thought it was great. I believe the hype, you know, so I was there on the parade route and listening to the speech and, you know, had a chance to see him. And for me, the thing that made this speech so powerful was the response to it. There were millions of folks who were in Washington, D.C., who paused. And there were many millions and millions of people around the world who stopped and paused and were very much vested in what this person had to say about what we were all going to do together. And so, it meant a lot to me in reflecting on, the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream speech and, you know, having not only my son and wife with me, but driving my mother down from Philadelphia. You know, there were a lot of generational intersections there that I really appreciated. And I think that, you know, the speech kind of lived up to, like I said, to the hype that had been presented for so many months leading up to this moment.
A true believer, David Wall Rice, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
David Wall Rice is an assistant professor in the Department of Psychology at Morehouse College. And now we turn to Mark Garrison, who has headlines.
Thank you. 39 minutes after the hour.